Please turn with me to the book of 1 John chapter 1, the book of 1 John chapter number 1. I let the church people realize something, that this card here that the visitors use, I have made this to where it is a multi-purpose card. For instance, now I don't want you to look at this now, but if there's ever anybody that you want me to visit or you'd like for one of our staff members to visit, there is a place on the back side of this card that says, please provide us with the name and address of a friend or family member you'd like for us to visit. And also, there's a place for prayer requests. So I encourage you, if you ever need to get a word to me and you're not sure how to do that, just use one of these cards, okay? And put your name on it, fill out the appropriate information, drop it in the offering plate. That'll be a great thing, all right? 1 John chapter number 1, and we'll begin our reading in verse number 1. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. The Bible says, that which was from the beginning, which we've heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which ye have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If you mark your Bible, I want you to mark one word that's found in verse number 3. It's also found in verse number 6. It's the word fellowship. The word fellowship. And I want to preach to you tonight on fellowship. And you say, Jody, what's this have to do with our marriage? It'll all make sense when we get to it. So let's pray together. Okay, our Father, we love you tonight. We thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for the good crowd that's chosen to come to your house tonight on this Wednesday evening. Pray that you make it worth their time coming. Help me, Lord, as I preach this, as we're plowing through this series on the home. Just the third message tonight. And Lord, we're still laying groundwork, but I pray that you help all this to make sense as we plow through this series together for the next 5.5 weeks. May thy will be done. May you accomplish your will, I pray. Forgive my sins. Help me to be clean before you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, in this series that I've entitled Building Families of Faith, we're going to be building a family of faith from the ground up. Now, I don't want you to think of anybody's family but your own. In other words, by the end of this series, we will have built a family of faith, and I trust that family of faith is your family. In other words, this is a series, and really anytime you come to God's house, don't ever fall prey of saying, boy, I hope he got that, or boy, I hope she got that, or boy, she really needed that, or he needed that. Are you listening to me? We all need God's word. There's no doubt about it. Now, tonight, we're still laying groundwork. Now, I've already started on the marriage relationship. I'm going to continue with the marriage on Sunday all day, Lord willing. But tonight, I'm going back to the foundation, and I'm doing it for a reason, and I trust that God will use this in a mighty way. Now, in helping with this vital issue of building a family of faith, there's three distinct points that all these sermons are coming under. There's like 16, 17, 18 sermons, but all of them will come under the foundation, the formation, and the foe of the Christian home. Now, today, I'm going back and focusing again on the foundation of the family of faith. Now keep in mind that we're preaching on a family that is Christian, because you understand you cannot have a family of faith until first of all you are a family in faith. You must know the Lord Jesus Christ before you can ever go do anything for the Lord or have Him to bless you the way He wants to bless you. Now I say that tonight just in case somebody's in here under the sound of my voice and there's never been a time in your life when you've trusted Christ. If that is the truth, you cannot have a family of faith. I repeat, you cannot have a family of faith without being a family in faith first. You understand that, right? Now, that being the case, we're talking to a Christian family. Now, what I want to do tonight is I want you to see and get a good look at the foundation of the Christian home. I'm speaking again of the foundation of a Christian home. Now, Ezra chapter 6, verse 3 says, let the house be builded, the place where they offered sacrifices, and let the foundations thereof be strongly laid.
And let me say this to you. Now, we're building the walls and building the windows and everything else on Sundays, God willing. But tonight, I want you to understand again, like I just alluded to Sunday morning, that you must spend much time on the foundation if you want the rest of the house to turn out right. Now, tonight, we're going back to the foundation, and the foundation of a Christian home is fellowship with the Lord. There's no doubt about it. And let me say this to you. The foundation, period, is Jesus Christ. He is the foundation. He's the foundation for salvation, first of all. You cannot build anything unless you are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. But if you know the Lord as your Savior, your other foundation, if you will, is staying close to Him, fellowshipping with Him. Now, this fellowship is on display for us here in 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. Now, there's three things I want you to notice about this fellowship. Now, stay with me. Now, in this portion of Scripture, God's Word shares with us that we truly can have fellowship one with another as we have fellowship with God the Father and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let me say this to you before I even get started with my points here. Understand that most marriage problems, now keep this in mind, most problems in general, whether it's marriage or not, but since this is building families of faith, let me just say this. If it's a problem with a teenager and a parent, if it's a problem with a parent and a teenager, if it's a problem with a husband and a wife, I don't care what kind of a problem it is, more than likely the problem is either salvation or fellowship is off. Everybody with me? If they're saved, great. But I guarantee you, if you're not fellowshipping with Jesus Christ on a daily basis, you have problems elsewhere in your life. There's no doubt in my mind. So tonight, understand that before I even get to the messages Sunday morning on the husband and Sunday night on the wife, I cannot bypass this. And I trust that you see my heart in this. Now, the word fellowship here carries the idea of a friendly relationship. It means it's talking about the condition or fact of having common interest, ideas, or experiences with somebody else. It's the setting aside of private, it's the setting aside of private interest and private desires and joining in with another with common purposes. That's a powerful word right there. It means to commune or have partnership with somebody. It has the idea of going in the same direction. Let me tell you what we need. Our homes need godly men and godly women and godly children who are going the same direction as Jesus Christ. Our homes need to be a place where we set our private interests aside, we set our private desires aside, and we say, God, we want what you want more than what we want. Our marriages need that. Guess what? Your marriage needs that. My marriage needs that. So as we're talking about this fellowship tonight, we're looking at fellowshipping with the Lord, which leads you to be able to have the right fellowship with one another. See, you cannot bypass Jesus Christ and try to correct the problem in your marriage. It's impossible to do that. Some people say, well, all I need to do is treat her better. Well, all I need to do is do this. All I need to do is just talk right. All I need to do is just listen to this. You're wrong. You're putting the cart before the horse. What you and I need to do is make sure that our fellowship with Jesus Christ is on a daily, clean basis. And as we're walking with Him on a daily basis, He will help you be the husband you should be. He will help you be the wife you should be. He will help you be the teenager you should be. He will help you be the mom and the dad. We're going to cover all that stuff in the series, but you cannot be what God wants you to be if you're not with Him on a daily basis. You can't do it. I dare say in a crowd this size, and I'm not going to ask you, not going to take a survey, but I dare say in a crowd this size, probably half to three quarters of the people listening to me do not read the Bible every day. It's like that everywhere I go. I can ask that question. I don't care if I'm here, if I'm in Florida, if I'm over in Russia. I can ask the question, how many of you are reading God's Word every day? And almost without fail, half to three quarters of the congregation are not reading the Bible every day. And we wonder why our marriages are suffering. And we wonder why our parenthood is suffering. And we're wondering why we have problems in our homes. It's not a problem with her. It's not a problem with him. It's not her. It's not him. It's not her. It's not him. It's you with him. That's the problem. Now, what are we going to look at? Number one, three things about this fellowship. By the way, the only way that you can have a friendly relationship with Christ, the only way that you can have common interests with him, the only way that you can really set aside your private interests and join with him for a common purpose, the only way you can commune with him and partner with him, the only way you can go in the same direction with him is if you're walking with him every day. Are you reading his Bible? And are you praying every day of your life? You know, there are some people who think they don't need that. I'd like for that person to come see me in 20 years and see if they're saying the same thing. I'll give you three things about this fellowship. Number one, the call to it. The call to this fellowship. Look at verses 3 and 4 of our text. Now, notice what the Word of God says. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Now there's a gracious restraint here on all who know this fellowship. In other words, do you realize that when you are walking with Jesus Christ and you truly have this fellowship, this communion, this sweetness, I'm talking about, boy, you're just enjoying His sweet fellowship every day of your life. I'm telling you, you're reading His words, you're praying. Life's not perfect, and sometimes you don't even feel like getting up and reading the Bible, but you do it anyway because you don't want to miss anything. When you're in sweet fellowship with Jesus Christ, you know what this passage tells me? When you're truly walking with Him and you experience that joy that only comes from Him, you want everybody else to get in on it. You really do. You can't help yourself to try to help somebody fellowship with Jesus when you're truly walking with Him the way you should. It's like these people here in verses 3 and 4 are saying this, saying, hey, this fellowship with Jesus, it's wonderful, and we want you to be a part of it. You ever seen something or happen or been involved in something that was so wonderful that you had to tell somebody else about it? You ever had that happen? We all have. Whether it's hitting a home run or whatever. I mean, something's happening. You just got to tell somebody about it. Just have to tell them about it. This is the basic setting, what's happening right here. John is in sweet fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, his heavenly Father, and he's saying, this is so good that you've got to get in on this. And let me say this to you. It is a great thing when you're walking with Jesus Christ. It's a great thing. They're enjoying their fellowship with the Lord so much that they wanted others to get in on it. You know, this is what's missing in Christian homes all over the world. No doubt about it. We talk about everything that's wrong. We talk about everything that's right. We talk about all the problems and good night. What happened there? And I guess what happened there was, you know, listen, have you ever heard this? I just don't love her anymore. You ever heard that? A person that says that is just told on themselves. It's not that they don't love her or love him anymore. It's that they don't love him the way they should. Amen, folks. Because when you love Jesus Christ and you're walking with Jesus Christ, He helps you to live in accordance to His Word. Do you realize every time we preach that all we're doing is declaring to you what we've seen and heard from God? That's all a preacher is to do. A preacher is to get in the presence of Almighty God, to fellowship and walk with Jesus Christ, and then come to the pulpit and it just spews out of him because, good night, he spent his time with God and he just wants to share with you what God has shared with him. That's what our marriages need. Our marriages need a husband and a wife. Our teenagers, our children need a mom and dad who walk with God. There's no doubt about it. I wonder, are you truly fellowshipping with the Lord? And are you calling your household to the same fellowship? Men, by the way, that lies at your feet. God's holding you responsible as the man to make sure that you are walking with God and you make sure your wife is walking with God. Now, you can't walk with God for her, but you can bring her to spiritual maturity, remember? Sunday night, you can help bring her to spiritual maturity. You can encourage her. You can encourage your children. You can gather your family around you and say, we're going to read the Bible before we go to bed. We're going to read the Bible before we go to work today. We're going to pray together as a family. We're going to bow our head and ask Jesus to bless the food around this place. You know, it is a sick day when people sit down to eat and do not bow their head and thank Jesus Christ for the food. By the way, you ought to thank him for the food whether you're in public or whether you're in private. Amen. And what I'm saying to you, we've got to get back to the fellowship with Jesus Christ. Let me give you two things under this as we're looking at the call to this fellowship. We've been called to it. John's saying it's so good. It's so great. It's so wonderful. You've got to get on this. Two things about it. Number one, the time of it. Look at verse number 3. When's the time? When does God want you to be in fellowship with him? Look at verse number 3. It says, that which we've seen and heard, declare unto you, that ye may also, what's the next word? Have. That's in present tense. That's in the present tense. Now, what do I mean by that? Here's what I mean by that. You may say, I've been out of fellowship with the Lord. I'm not reading the Bible. I'm not praying together. I've got good news for you. That's in the past. Today's the new day. Start now. Somebody may say, I've been in fellowship with the Lord all my life. Watch out. Because this fellowship is always to be present. I'm talking about you need to be walking with God today. And if God gives you breath for tomorrow, you need to walk with God then. And if you're still living 10 years from now, you still need to be walking with God. Because this fellowship with Jesus Christ is always present. It's never past. It's never future. It's always now. And some people fall into the trap of, well, I've just gone too far. You know, I'm glad that's not true. I'm glad that Jesus Christ, with his children, wants to spend time with me. And he wants to spend time with you. The time of this fellowship is now. But let's look at the truth of this fellowship. This is all under the call to this fellowship, the time of it, the truth of it. Look at verse number 3. It says this, that which we've seen and heard, declare we unto you that you also may have fellowship with us. Here it is. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Now the truth is our fellowship with each other. Here's what he's saying. John is wanting to have fellowship with these other people. But he's saying, here's the truth. He's saying the truth of this fellowship is that I want to have fellowship with you, but my fellowship with you depends on our personal fellowship with him. Now here's where we miss it. A lot of times people try to build a marriage around the fellowship they have with each other. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's great. But if you try to fellowship with each other without fellowshipping with God first, you are missing the boat. And it will not last. It will not last. I guarantee it. I'm not talking about your marriage. I'm talking about that fellowship, because the truth of this fellowship is you must be in fellowship with God before you can truly fellowship the way he wants you to with somebody else. Everybody needs Christian fellowship. Did you know that? You need Christian fellowship. You need church fellowship. But you cannot put those in the place of Christ's fellowship. You've got to fellowship with the Lord. The call to this fellowship. Number two, let's notice the condition of this fellowship. Verses 6 and 7, look at it. It says, if we say we have fellowship with him, talking about Jesus, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Now, I want to make a statement. I don't want you to forget it. Salvation comes free, but fellowship does not. Salvation comes free, but fellowship does not. It costs something to have this special fellowship with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. There's some conditions that have to be met before you can experience this fellowship with the Lord, which in turn gives you fellowship with others. Now look at verse number 6 closely and notice the word darkness. The word darkness there carries the idea of spiritual or moral darkness. It means both. Now, in that, the Lord is telling us something. He's saying, if you say that you're walking in fellowship with me and you're in spiritual or moral darkness, you're a liar. That's what he says. I didn't say it. God says he's a liar if he says that. Now, what's he mean by this? Here are the conditions that must be met. First of all from the word darkness here. First of all, you must have a saved walk. Now, here again, this is where we get the spiritual. In other words, darkness can mean spiritual darkness. The only spiritual darkness there is when a person's lost. It's interesting that when you get saved, it's called stepping into the light, which means that you are in spiritual darkness. Here's what I'm saying to you. Jesus Christ will not have intimate fellowship with an unsaved person. He won't do it. The first condition that must be met is you must know that you're in God's family. You must be saved. If you're not saved, you can never experience this fellowship, which means that you could never have the fellowship with each other that you're wanting. See, here's the thing, and I'm not even calling it a secret. It seems to be a secret because so few people are doing it. But the fact is this. So many people today, even God's children, are trying to bypass their fellowship with God to have fellowship with each other. They think that they can correct that, or all they got to do is that, or all they got to do is change that. All they got to do is wait on that and wait on this. And they're missing the fact that if they're not truly walking with God and fellowshipping with Him, they cannot have the fellowship that they could have with each other. Because only as you fellowship with God can you fellowship with each other. I'm sure you've seen the triangle. Maybe you haven't. Where you're on this side and your spouse is right here and God is up at the pinnacle. And as you walk with God and as they walk with God, you get closer to each other. Don't you see that? You cannot bypass walking with God and think that God's smile is going to be on your family and everything's going to be hunky-dory and good night no matter what happens, your marriage is going to make it through. Your marriage is only going to make it through if you have Jesus Christ as your foundation. That's it. You must have a saved walk. Secondly, we're looking at the conditions. Must only have a saved, by the way, 2 Corinthians 6:14 says, what fellowship, there it is, hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? How can Jesus Christ fellowship with darkness? He's light. He's the light of the world. How can righteousness have fellowship? That means walk hand in hand, go the same direction, have the same ideas. That's impossible with righteousness and unrighteousness. That's impossible with light and darkness. They're completely opposite. You must be saved. Number two, you must be separated. You say, where's that come from? Moral darkness. Or it says right here in verse number 6, where it says, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, that means spiritual darkness, that means you got to be saved. It also means moral darkness, which means this, you must live like a Christian if you want to have fellowship with God. There's no doubt about this, folks. By the way, there are so many churches today. I'm not calling any churches by name. I don't even have any on my mind. So don't think I do. But there's so many churches today who are going away from the separated, godly, holy walk. So many of them. I'm going to tell you something. I want you to look right here, please. I love you too much to kick out standards. I love you too much not to say you ought to live like a Christian. I love you too much not to say you ought to dress like a Christian. You ought to look like a Christian. You ought to do what Christians ought to. I'm talking about people who are saved. You say, Jody, why are you doing that? You're trying to put us in bondage? No, I'm trying to say you cannot have fellowship with Jesus Christ unless you live like a Christian should live. You know that's the truth, don't you? It's Bible. You must have a separated walk. The Bible tells us, I don't want you to turn to it for time's sake, but the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 17 and 18, God says, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. That's still in the Bible. I don't care what churches kick it out, it's still in the Bible. And I'm telling you, I want to have fellowship with God. Don't you want to have fellowship with Him? Don't you want Him to speak to you? Don't you want Him to listen to you when you're praying? Don't you want to have sweet communion with God and be going the same direction? Well, folks, you cannot go the same direction with God and live any way you want to live. It doesn't work that way. You must have a holy life. Live a holy life. By the way, I'm going somewhere with these conditions, because you can't do these things on your own. I'm going somewhere with it. You must be saved. You must be separated. Number three, you must be shining. Because it says right here in verse 6 again, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, the shining, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. This word shining here means to be manifest. It means to be luminous. It means to be clear and readily understood. In other words, your presence, when you walk into a place, should make darkness flee. Let me ask you a question. When you walk into a place and there's dirty talk, does it cease? When you walk into a place and it's ungodliness, maybe because you can't help it. Now, if you can help it, you shouldn't be there. But I realize some people work in environments like that, and people are talking ungodly and all these. Let me ask you a question. Do they even know that you claim to be saved? Or are you afraid that they might mock you? Do they shut their mouth when you walk into the room? You say, no. I don't want to be a weirdo. Are you listening to me? If you do not have the guts to stand up for Jesus Christ, you will not have fellowship with Him. You must be shining. Let me ask you a question. Can you be saved by yourself? Can you save yourself? No. Can you separate yourself? Can you say, I will no longer go there. I am resolved. You ought to do that. But does that mean you're never going to go there again? No. Can you make yourself shine? Can you make yourself that when people see you come in the room and they have a filthy mouth, they know better because they don't want to offend you? Can you do any of that? No. How do you get that? How do you get that separated walk? How do you get that shining walk? You spend time with Him every day of your life. And as you spend time with Him, you're trying to get into that fellowship with Him, and you're spending time with Him. You're reading His Word. You're meditating on His Word. You're memorizing His Word. You're trying to pray to Him and talk to Him and beg Him to bless your life over time before you know it. Are you listening to me? Here's true biblical separation. Don't ever forget this. Here's true biblical separation. Let's say that this chair right here is the world, okay? Let's say that that's the... No, I'll tell you what. Let's say that that is the Lord. And let's say that this right here is the world, because it's nothing in comparison with Him. Here's true biblical separation. So many people look at this and say, you mean I can't do that, can't do that, can't do that? Bondage, bondage, bondage. I can't do anything. A person like that does not understand separation. You know what separation is? It's doing this. Boy, he looks good. Good night. Look at that. Boy, I'll tell you one thing. This is what I've been looking for. And the closer you get to Him, the further you get from that. Are you with me out there? Don't be caught looking at, oh, look at those things. Look what I can't do. Look what I can't go. You mean I can't do that? Are you serious? Wait a minute. Your focus is there when your focus should be, boy, I tell you, that's the greatest thing I've ever seen in my life. God's been good to me. And as you focus on Him and you spend time with Him, He will separate you. He will cause your life to be shining. Let me ask you a question. Are you meeting the conditions of this fellowship? Are you saved? Are you separated? Is your life shining for Jesus Christ? And there's a third thing tonight, and that is the cleansing in it. We've seen the call to it, the conditions for it. Now the cleansing in it. Look at verse number 7. And if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we're truly having fellowship with Jesus Christ, then we know our lives are clean and our lives are right before him. See, when you got saved, the Lord saved you from eternal damnation and you'll never be lost again. But even when you're a Christian, you're still a saved sinner. That's all you are. And every now and then you get dirty, right? You get dirty. You think something you shouldn't think. You go somewhere you know you shouldn't have gone. You watch something that you know God was not in. Something slipped out of your mouth and you know it wasn't of God. And before you know it, you're dirty. But you realize that as you fellowship with God and you come into his presence and you read his word and you pray, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. He's talking to Christians, by the way, in that verse. And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What I'm saying to you is when you truly have this fellowship with God, you're clean. You know what one of the greatest feelings about being a Christian is? Now, I don't talk a lot about feelings because you don't need to get caught up with how you feel. And you understand it's a faith. But what I'm saying to you is this. One of the greatest things about being a Christian is when you know in your heart that you're right with God. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Let me tell you something. We are very selfish people when we let something get us dirty and we don't fellowship with him so he can clean us up. Let me give you some things about this cleansing. Three things about it. First of all, it's a pure cleaning. Because it says that we're cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And yet the Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews chapter 9, you don't need to turn to it for time's sake, verses 13 and 14, it says this. It says, for if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? The blood of Christ is pure blood. And he'll cleanse you in a pure way. Secondly, it's a powerful cleansing. Because in our text, in verse number 7 again, it says, and we know, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. You know what all means? It's not a trick question. It means all. That means if a child of God gets filthy with the world, when he wants true fellowship with Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ will clean him up like new. It's powerful cleansing. Thirdly, it's a cleansing that brings peace. Because really the only way you can have fellowship with God is to be at peace with him. That's it. I illustrate this by saying this. Have you ever put in a hard day at work? And you come home and you've got grime all over you and all this stuff and you're dirty and you're filthy and you can just feel the dirt on you. You ever been there? And you go home and you take a shower or you just wash your hands because maybe that's the only thing that you know you got dirty. You remember how it feels when you're clean again? Man, that feels better. Maybe you've never been there before. You know what our people need? You know what our marriages need? You know what our parents need? You know what our teenagers need? You know what we need? We need people who take a shower every day of their life spiritually. They're saved. That never changes. But fellowship, I'm talking about getting close to God, walking with God, fellowshipping with him, having the same interests as he does, walking in communion with him, spending time with him in his word. We've got to have that in our homes. You've got to have it. This fellowship with Christ, in turn, brings us into fellowship with one another. And this is missing in our Christian homes. I want to ask you a question about your marriage tonight, if you're married. How's your fellowship with each other? How is it? Is your marriage great? If it is, thank God for that. If it's not, I know your problem. I already know it. You're not walking with God. You're either lost or you're not walking with God, one or both of you. And at the same time, if you think your marriage is good now, and you say, I'm not reading my Bible, and I'll tell you one thing, I've got just as good a marriage as he does. Want to bet? Imagine how much better it would be if you would fellowship with God. Because I'm going to tell you something, goo-goo eyes, man, she's the beautifulest thing I've ever seen. And in my wife's point of view, that is the manliest man I've ever seen in my life. What are you laughing at, folks? That is not enough to build a marriage on. But Jesus is. I ask you this question in clothing. In closing, not clothing, but I am in clothing, you know, when I ask it, but in closing. You love it when I mess up, don't you? Yes. Here's my question. You may have come tonight and this is the furthest thing that you thought I'd preach on. Because you're expecting the husband, the wife, that's Sunday. The mom, the dad, that's later. The children, that's later. Raising kids, that's later. How to discipline kids, that's later. Finances, that's later. That's all in this series. Trying to whet your appetite a little bit. But I hope you see what I'm doing. More importantly, I hope you see what the Lord's doing. You can't, all of those things will not help you unless your heart's right with God first. You see that, don't you? Are you walking with God? If you're not, I've got great news for you. He's still waiting on you. And he's waiting to share his eternal life. And maybe you're already in it. But he wants to tell you more about him. Listen to me, please. I'm just about through, but isn't it amazing that God Almighty, by the way, he does exist. He is coming back again. Somebody says, I don't believe it. You will. Just a matter of time. I'm glad he exists tonight. And here is God, had no beginning, has no ending. Eternal. From everlasting to everlasting, as Brother Cash says. And he wants you to talk to him. And he wants to talk with you. What a deal. Amen. Honestly. And if you do that, he will bless your life. He will bless your marriage. I'm not saying you're going to have everything you want. You're missing the point. Sickness could be the best thing for you. He knows it. All I'm saying to you, though, is that you can have the very best marriage that God created if you will fellowship with him. And if you're a teenager, so many teenagers today fall into this trap. Nobody knows what I have to go through. You don't understand what in the world. I mean, my mom and dad are cave people. They're still living back in the first century. Everybody's doing it, then something's probably wrong with it. Amen. You know what we need at our church? We need husbands, wives, moms, dads, teenagers, and children, grandmas and granddaddies, who say, I will spend time every day with God. You've got to have it. Is it in your life? If it's not, it can be. Amen. I'm trying to help you. I know you know that. I'm trying to help you. Let's all bow our heads together and close our eyes. Our Father, we love you tonight, and I thank you for your goodness to us. And I pray, Lord, for this special series that's going on. What a series it is. And Lord, I pray that you'll help people to see the importance of what's being preached. Help us all to fellowship with you and understand that our fellowship with one another, whether that other be our mate, whether it be our children, whoever it is that we really want to have fellowship with, our fellowship with them really depends on our fellowship with you first. do a mighty work tonight. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. As soon as they get prepared here, they're going to begin to play through. My invitation is simple tonight. Number one, do you know without a doubt that heaven is your home? Do you know without a doubt that you're a Christian, that you're saved, that you're born again? Somebody here tonight and you say, Jody, would you pray for me? I'm not going to come to your seat, not going to call you out. I promise you that. I'm not going to. But you say, Jody, would you pray for me? I'm not a Christian. Well, maybe you're doubting if you are and God is speaking to you. Would you be an honest person? Would you raise your hand? Anybody like that? You say, Jody, would you pray for me? I need to be sure I'm a Christian. Anybody at all? Anybody at all? Let me ask you this. You say, Jody, I'm a Christian, but I'm going to be honest. I am not walking with God every day. Now, what I'm asking is, are you reading the Bible and praying every day of your life? Now, you understand it goes further than that. I'm not saying you read your Bible and pray, your life's going to be perfect. Hey, if you walk with God, you're still going to have struggles. You're still going to have heartaches, but you've got His peace to carry you through. Have you tonight say, Jody, I'm going to be honest. I am not walking with God every day. I'm a Christian, but I'm not fellowshipping with Him every day of my life. Would you be an honest Christian? Would you raise your hand? Be honest. Be an honest Christian. You say, I'm not fellowshipping with Him every day. God bless you. If you're a teenager, you say, Jody, I'm not reading the Bible and praying every day. Would you be an honest teenager? Would you raise your hand? Be an honest teenager. You're a teenager. I want you to raise it high. Would you do that? God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. In just a moment, we're going to stand and sing. And I'm going to tell you something. One of the greatest decisions you could ever make, that's a lot of you tonight, one of the greatest decisions you could ever make is to say, Lord, help me to walk with You every day. And start doing it. Start doing it. Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Father, take it and use it. Help people to make decisions for Your glory and for Your honor. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Gary's singing. If God is speaking to you and you feel like the Lord would have you to make this decision, you say, I believe this is what God would have me to do. If you just raised your hand, I'm speaking to you. If you feel like this is what God would have you to do, as Brother Gary sings, won't you leave your place, come to this altar and ask God,
Lord,
to help you.
Jesus, won't you come now?
Won't you come now? God help you. May the Lord help you.
I want Thee forever to live in my soul. Break down every idol.
Come on, folks.
Cast out every foe. Thou wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Whiter than snow.
Yes,
whiter than snow. Thou wash me and I shall be whiter than snow.
If you're still standing, I'd like you to look this way. Several of you raise your hand saying you're not walking with God every day. You don't have to come to an altar like this to make that commitment. But I trust you'll make it before you put your head to your pillow tonight. Do you think you're going to regret reading God's Word every day? You think you're going to regret praying? No. But I'll guarantee you'll regret if you don't. I guarantee it. May not be today, may not be tomorrow. It may not be 10 years from now, but it will be. It will be. And your marriage is too valuable. Your children are too valuable. And you teenagers, your life is too valuable for you to try to live it on your own. You've got to have God. Are you with me? You've got to have Him. Now, God willing, Sunday, I'm going back to the marriage. And Lord willing, unless He changes my mind, I'll be preaching a message just to the husbands on Sunday morning. A message just to the wives on Sunday night. Next Wednesday, I don't know yet. And very soon, we're going to be starting with the children, how to raise them. And then we'll conclude with the foe and how to live in victory over him. I'm excited to get to that point. And I trust that you'll be here and bring somebody with you. May the Lord help you with this. Amen. I'm going to ask Brother Mark Snodgrass, if you wouldn't mind, sir. It's 8 o'clock. We've got a brief business meeting. Matter of fact, it's so brief, I'm not even going to let you sit down, okay? We'll just stay standing. Got a couple items we just need to vote on right quick, and then we'll